go from 12 to 15, 14. But we're just going to try to get through the 12th chapter, okay? And if I think it's running a little longer, because then we may stop before I get all the way through. And but anyway, you know what? Let's read a little bit, and then we'll come back and discuss what's there. Paul says, I beseech, or he urges. I think your translation, by the way, is NIV, and I'm reading now the King James. Greg asked me, he thought, you're preaching out in King James? He saw us preaching out. I said, I put it in NIV. Do you need to change it? I said, no. He said, I thought you preached out of the NIV. I said, well, really, I have all kinds of Bibles. But most of the time, it's either King James or NIV. When I was in the Northwest, I preached out of the Holman Christian Standard, because that's what's their pew Bible. But anyway, I think you can pretty well follow me, though. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow. You know, he starts out, I beseech ye, or urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now let's go back and think a little bit. If you're familiar with Romans up to this point, just kind of familiar with some of the things in there, you'll realize that he starts out and he really talks about how sinful man is. And one of the verses that you would probably know is, there is none righteous, no, not one. Or all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means nobody measured up. When I think of that passage, I always think of when I was a kid and we'd go up to Branson, to Silver Dollar City, and they'd have a little guy there with a ruler, and if you didn't measure up, you couldn't get on that ride. And, well, we don't measure up. We don't meet God's standard. We don't meet the standard to get into heaven because of our sin. And everybody sin. But the Bible says God commanded his love towards us in Romans. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Reminding us the wages of sin is death in one passage, but reminding us that Christ died for us. Paul goes on and says in Romans, he says, if thou shalt if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then he goes on a little further and he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We read another chapter and he talks about he's given us this Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit helps us pray even when we don't know what to pray for. It helps us pray and in a sense prays for us. That by his Spirit we have now been adopted into the family of God. All of its gift that we receive, its mercy that we receive. So when Paul gets to this 12th verse, he says, I beseech you, urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you know, what you've already received, now in response to that, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, there are different ways we worship. We think of worship often in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. But one of the most significant ways that we express worship of God is how we live our lives. In 2 Peter... not in 2 Peter, but in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. I'll read you two verses out of there right quick. In the 5th verse, he says, Ye also, as lively stones, are built up spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. That is, we're like, here it's appearing it's like a temple. We're a holy priesthood, a spiritual building, a holy priesthood. And we're there to offer up sacrifice to God. The way we live our life is like, should be like offering up sacrifice to God. And Paul's, as we get into Romans, he's going to say, hey, this is how that life ought to look. And if you look at it and pay real attention to it, you'll notice that's the way Jesus lived his life, okay, as he walked upon the earth. The 9th verse says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past were not people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Hebrews the 13th chapter says, by him, Christ that is, therefore let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice, again, this is another way, another sacrifice, such sacrifice, God is well pleased. That is, with the things that we do with our lives. The idea here is that you just bring your life, your body, your soul, and lay it on the altar for him. And you live for him, like in the song, living for Jesus. And he says, be not conformed to this world. And folks, that is our thinking and our attitude and our actions, which are, our thinking is followed by our action, really. And so he's saying, you don't want to be conformed to this world. You don't want the world to shape your thinking, because it's going to be shaping your actions. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable. That is, you know, that changing of your mind comes through that time in prayer and a time in God's Word where God reveals his will to you for everyday life. He reveals even the way you ought to think and the way you ought to look at things. And you might kind of say, well, Brother David, what do you mean? Well, let me give you a verse. One that you're going to find when you study God's Word. A few here. I'm looking in Philippians, the 2nd chapter. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, esteem others better than themselves. Now, promoting others and esteeming others better than ourselves is not, well, that's not what the world does. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. The world doesn't do that. We're not to be like the world. We're to be like what it's saying here. We're to be transformed. Let this mind be in you. Now he gives a supreme example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Don't think like the world. Think like Jesus. Let your mind be changed. And the idea, by the way, is the same thing. Be not conformed. Let God change you. Be submissive to him. Don't let the world, I guess, you shape you, but let God shape your thinking. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, when it's Jesus, was made like us. Here's what he did. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him, and giving him a name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I just had to read the whole thing. I just couldn't cut it off there. Let me just simply say, we're to be like Jesus. We're to be humble like Him. He died on the cross, as Romans says. He commanded His love towards us while we yet sinners. Christ died for us. He did that for us. When we take on the mind of Christ, we're going to be living for others and not for ourselves. We're going to be living and serving God and not for ourselves. And folks, that is counter to the world. And we don't worry about the exalting, whether we get praise from men or not. We do it, and we're just waiting until God does the praise, all right? It'd be sweet to stand before Him someday and for Him to say, and it'll be sweet to your ears, won't it, when He says, well done, good and faithful servant. What other praise would we want to hear? Well, Paul, here in Romans, is talking to us, and he says, that you may prove, demonstrate what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's asking you and I to demonstrate what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as the Lord has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's just think about this. How ought we think about ourselves? Is there any reason for us to feel like we're better than somebody else? To esteem ourselves better than others? When the Bible says what we've already seen in Romans. See, and this is a letter. You know, when the church sat down, they don't do things like we do. We chop up the book. You know, they just sat down and read it. You know, they were there for a while. They camped out. And Romans is a pretty long book. But reading this, and you just think about what he's just got through saying in the other chapters, we're all sinners. Don't get too puffed up, brothers. You're just a sinner saved by grace. And when you run into another sinner out there someday, and he's living an ungodly life, don't think, oh, I'm so much better than him. No, just think, by the grace of God, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be there. So he reminds us, don't think of himself, don't more highly than he ought. But we should think of ourselves as children of God, though. There to serve. Not above God, but under God. According to God, hath dealt every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and then he begins to describe the church. All of us. The church has many members, but we have one body. And although we think of the head as extremely important, if it didn't have a hand, you wouldn't be able to feed that body. Okay? And that body couldn't eat. Therefore, that brain would die. Hands, not that important. I lost the tip of my thumb. Table saw. Kent, you'd be surprised what you can't do without that tip of your thumb. I could pick up pens, you know. I have to do it. I'm right-handed. Now, I can pick up a pen with it. I can't pick up one with this nubbin. Okay? Everything about our body is important and has its place. And he's reminding us as we get into this part, the importance of the body. And he's talking here at this point, the fellowship of the church. how we act and live our lives and carry on our ministries and use our gifts. It's like a sacrifice, and that's the reason we start out. It's like a sacrifice to God. It's like an expression of praise and worship. The word here is sacrifice, the same that's used over in the Old Testament, where they brought a sacrifice to put up on the altar. Or incense that were burned and smelled made a sweet smell to the Lord. Went up as the scripture would say. We have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That is, we don't have all the same office, but each office is important. So we being many are one in Christ, and every one member one of another. And then we're associated, we're part of each other. We're needed by each other. Carrying out God's work. Having been gifted differing according to the grace that is given us. That is, God's the one that gives the gifts, by the way. So you wouldn't have that gift. That is, if you're a Christian, God's given you a spiritual gift to be used in the body. You may not know what that is. I've heard people have courses to help you find that gift. Let me just tell you the simplest way to find that gift. Be willing to do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. God's not going to lead you to do something you can't do. Just be willing and striving to do what God is putting on your heart. You know, our cultures gets messing up church a lot of times. Sometimes people think they have to go to school to become a pastor. You don't have to go to school to become a pastor. You have to study the Word to become a pastor, but you don't have to go to school to become a pastor. You have to be willing to love people to be a pastor. But what I'm really trying to say is that some old simple guy out there, just a little bit of a clodhopper, very country-ish, God can use if he just puts his faith in God and is willing to do what God wants him to do. And you can. You know, if you say, man, I don't have much talent, much skill, it doesn't matter. God, if you just be willing. Remember, present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. I'll let him work through you. He's given you his Holy Spirit. He's given you the Word of God. Just be open to do what he wants to do. Having gifted differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, that is serving others, waiting on, ministering to others. Then get out there and serve. Or he that teacheth on teaching, and he that exhorteth, that is the person that encourages, that get out there and exhort, encourage. And he that giveth, let him give liberally, generously, not no thought of himself, not to be seen, not for the praises of others, but give out of love, give for real needs. And then he that ruleth with diligence, that is to be fervent, steadfast, not slothful. He that showeth mercy, do it cheerfully. That is, you say, what do you mean mercy? Well, this is the one that comforts people, okay? This is the one that visits the joy. Do it without hypocrisy. Do it with, I guess you say, a real love, a joy, a willing to serve and minister to even those that are in sorrow, that have problems, difficulties. Then he says, he goes on. Now he changes a little bit. He stops talking about the gifts. He switches over and he says, let love be without dissimulation. That is, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't just love this one, not so much that. No, he's talking about you to love people, even those that you may think aren't very lovely. Abhor that which is evil. I mean, just can't stand it. And cleave to that which is good. And when you read something that God calls good in the Bible, cleave to that. Be kindly and affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, and he kind of gives a description of this, kind of in honor, preferring one in love, honor, preferring one another. That is, desiring one another, caring about one another, wanting to be around others. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So he just wants you to not to be lazy about his work. A lot of times folks will work, they'll work themselves to death to do something that is maybe for pleasure, okay, or maybe just to make a living, or just one because they want a little cash. Then when they come to do the Lord's stuff, they kind of drag their feet. Don't think they need to put as much into it because I guess they're thinking they're volunteers. But folks, I think it's Peter that said, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God. Okay? You need to serve God like he's your main master. Because he should be. Like you owe everything to him, because you do. And what we do for him, we ought to want to do well. It says, rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. Prayer ought to be a big part of our lives. I don't know where you are in that. But I try to tell folks, God cares about everything. Anything you struggle with. Have you ever had a problem in life? God cares. You see somebody else with a problem, you can pray about their problem, but you can pray about your problem. The reason I say that, I know a lot of people in here has probably made a mountain out of a molehill. Something you didn't, it really wasn't that big a deal, but you got all upset about it rather than praying about it. I've had that experience, and then when I turned around and prayed about it, little thing, you know. But I was getting frustrated about it, and I just prayed, and God took care of it like that. But that's not; he just wants us to be instant, ready to pray. And what our prayers and all this, and the way we live our life, is like a sacrifice to him. It's an expression of our worship when we're letting him control, when we put our lives before him. We distribute to the necessities of the saints. Given the hospitality, he says, distribute to the necessities of saints. You see other brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're in need, and you got the ability to help? Help. Somebody says, well, what if you don't have the ability to do that? Then don't feel guilty about it at all. You shouldn't be given anyway with guilt. You ought to be given cheerfully, because the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. But if you got somebody in need, that's who you want to help. And it is an expression of your love. It is an expression of the love of God. It is a sacrifice. It's sweet to God. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and 16 through 18, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's good and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Or just simply, it's not just enough that we say we love you. It's important that we, when we have the opportunity to express that love in a tangible way. Blessed are them which persecute you and curse and, excuse me, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Where did you hear that at? You know, how many of you have ever been driving down the road and somebody gives you an ugly hand sign? Huh? That ever happened to you? I bet you it's happened to everybody in here you drive anymore. And what are you thinking? Now this is your time to shine, okay? It's your time to shine for the Lord. I'm asking you, what are you thinking? Did you pray for that individual? Because it doesn't sound like that knows the Lord, does it? Are you thinking, I hope he has a fender bender on down the road? Every time you act as God would have you, every time you act Christ-like, it's an expression of worship. And it's pleasing to God. And it demonstrates that perfect love. So, and then it goes on. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And where do you read that at? James says something similar to that. Here we're encouraged to respond to people emotionally. Have empathy for folks. Compassion. Recompense no man evil for evil. I hope you didn't give him a hand sign back. Okay? Because that's recompensing man evil for evil. Provide things honestly in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Now remember where to be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. On the cross, the soldiers who nailed him on the cross are parting his garments on the ground. And Jesus says what? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You leave vengeance up to him. You leave God to take care of business that needs to be taken care of. We are supposed to be a witness. Look, if you get in a fight or a quarrel with anyone, you think you'll ever be able to witness to them again? Most likely you will not. You might, you know, they have been things where people have apologized and things have happened, great things have happened. But I want to just tell you that most of the time you see somebody and you offend them and they stay offended, you shut the door. And we ought to be concerned more for the soul of them than our pride. Maybe somebody's trying to cheat you, and maybe they have cheat you, and you can get all bent out of shape about it. Or you can leave a bridge that you can come across and share the gospel. And there's nothing that they can cheat you out of that is worth a soul. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. What's the plan of, are we trying to punish him? What is he talking about? He's saying, God used it to convict. He pricks their conscience. Because you act more like God would act. God can use that. You show God's love when most of this world think that's not what they expected. You were being different in a way that points people to God. You were being light in darkness. And that's what we're supposed to be. When we tell the kids and we lead them to sing, "This little light of mine," that's what we're telling them to do. That's really what we're telling them to do. It's not just a cute little song. It has a meaning. It's what we are supposed to do. Be a light that shines in the dark. And so, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, you feed him. If he thirst, you give him drink. For in so doing, thou heaps coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome by evil. Now, catch this next one. But overcome evil with good. And that's what God's asking you. And that's the way you're going to have to be as a living sacrifice. So let's go back up. And we're going to close with just a reading of the first two verses. I beseech you, urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, by all that's been done for you in Christ, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right thing after all that God has done for you. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Living for Jesus. Letting your light shine. That's what God wants you to do. And if you have time, read all the way through to 15:14 and get the rest of it. We're going to stop there this morning. Let's all stand. Can I close this in prayer? Okay. If you're here this morning and don't know Christ as your personal Savior. So I said a while ago at the beginning that God commanded His love towards us, directed it towards you and I, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you're willing to put your faith and trust in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, He'd save you and give you eternal life. If you have questions about that this morning, I'd like to talk about that. I'll be up here at the front. And we'd love to talk to you about it. Just sit down and open God's Word and I'll show you what He says. And if you so will, to ask Him to save you and give you eternal life, you'll be able to do that this morning. And He would save you and give you eternal life. Forgive you of your sins. Give you His Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just praise You. You're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And Lord, as we go through the Scriptures, we want to be like You. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be that living sacrifice, Lord. Put our life upon the altar before You each day. Live a way which, Lord, is like us bringing continual sacrifices. A sweet smell to You, dear Lord. Loving others and loving You. Living for You. A light in this dark world. Help us this week, dear Heavenly Father, to be all that you'd want to continually offer up praise to you in the way we live our lives, in the things we say, the things we do, offer up praise to you. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.